the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we have one of our most familiar gospel passages today, the Good Samaritan. How many of you have heard sermons on the Good Samaritan? Over 5 sermons on the Good Samaritan in your life. How many of you heard over 20 sermons on the Good Samaritan in your life? How many of you remember any more than 5 sermons on the Good Samaritan? It's a very, very, very well-known story and one of Jesus's probably most well-known parables that he tells. I think it's relevant to everything going on today as much as it was then. That's the brilliance of Jesus. He can do that. He tells stories that are timeless. So I will offer another one, 51 or 16 or whatever number this is in your Good Samaritan's sermon belt. And maybe it's a little different. Maybe it will recap some of the best points, hopefully something to see the parable a little different or through what's happening in today's world. So the first thing we need to remember about the story is that Jesus tells it in response to a question. And Jesus isn't just musing about what's it mean to be a neighbor. Jesus doesn't often muse like that. Jesus is being approached by a lawyer who wants to know what he has to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus answers, well, what do you read in the law? And the lawyer gives an excellent, what we would call summary of the law. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you got it. You got it. Do that and you will live. But now he wants to go a little further. And he wants to ask Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And let me tell you what he's really asking. Who isn't my neighbor? Because probably if he woke up that day and said, I'm going to be a guy that shows love and kindness to every single person I meet, no matter what, he wouldn't ask that question. Mostly he wants to know, who are the people I'm obligated to love as myself, and who are the people I don't have to? Maybe you've asked yourself that question before. There's probably been times I have. Who are the people I don't have to love? Are there people? And here's the thing. Human beings don't change much. We think we do, but we really don't. And in Jesus' time, society and people were really divided. Very divided. So Jew and Gentile, Roman and Israelite, educated, uneducated, sinner, righteous. Lots of these different divisions that people would put themselves in, or more likely put other people in, for how to treat them, how to understand them. And what the lawyer is getting at is, who's my neighbor? Who are my peers? Who are the people in my group that I have to be loving and kind to? And who are the people who are not? Who are the people that I don't have to do that to? And Jesus doesn't answer his question. You should notice that about the story. Jesus never answers his question. Who is my neighbor? Never gives him an answer. Instead, he tells him a story. And the story is the Good Samaritan. And just in summary, there's a man, he's on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem, a very well-traveled road, and he's beaten, he's robbed, and he's left for dead on the side of the road. And a first person comes along. And now Jesus is using these people in the story on purpose. This is not an accident. Jesus isn't just making up people. A first person comes along, and he's a priest. And surely you would think, if there was anyone who would show kindness to this person that was half dead, it would be the priest. But no, Jesus says he passes to the other side. Now, have you ever been at a public place where you run into someone that you do not want to talk to? You kind of avoid eye contact and, you know, hope that they don't see you, kind of go to the other parts of the place so that where they're not. That's what he's saying. That's what he's doing. He's kind of, you know, that guy looks in bad shape, but I've got things to do today. And in fairness to the priest, if he was dead and he touched him and tried to help him, he wouldn't be able to do his priestly duties for that day. So it would ruin his schedule, ruin his service schedule. And so the priest thought it's just better to walk by. Ask no questions. Just walk by. So the second person that comes by is a Levite, and all Levites were kind of scholars of the law. They were the scribes, and they weren't all rabbis, but they were all well-educated scribes. And you would think, well, maybe he would stop. And he walks by. You know, you can picture if this were happening today, what they do. They just pull out their phone and, you know, pretend they're texting. Did you know I saw a study that said in the airport, 30% of the people who are on their phone are faking it. Because they want to look busy or avoid casual conversation. Because of the other people who are on their phones. So they feel like, wow, this guy's getting call after call. I look like a real loser here. Nobody's calling me, so I'm going to pretend I'm on my phone. So think about that. Next time you're flying, if you look around and there's 100 people on the phone, at any given time, 20 to 30 of them may be faking it, just so they look important or look busy. So you can figure this is what these people are doing. They're walking by, they're texting, they're checking their email, whatever they're doing to avoid eye contact, to avoid any obligation. Because if they go too close and they see the need, they might have to do something. So they literally just go to the other side of the road to avoid it. Then the third person comes along and he's a Samaritan. And the Samaritan in the story is the good guy. But to the people Jesus is telling the story to is the bad guy. Samaritans are one of those groups that Jews are divided with. They're not really religious enough. They're not ethnically Jews enough. They intermarry. They practice different beliefs. Their religion is not respected. They're the bad guys. They're one of the groups that the lawyer's hoping, Jesus says, Samaritans aren't your neighbor. And here's the Samaritan, and not only does he help, but he goes above and beyond, I think, what anybody would ever expect someone to do. He binds up his wounds. He puts oil on them. He puts them on his own beast and brings him to an inn. And he tells the innkeeper, take care of him, put it on my tab, I'll pay you back. Probably above and beyond what any of us would probably do. So the story's clear. Jesus is telling the story. He's not really leaving this up for debate. He's putting the listener into a place where they have to come to this conclusion. Who was the one who was neighbor? And even the Levite, the scribe, the educated lawyer, the priest, anyone listening would have to say, even though it would pain them to admit it, the Samaritan, the one who showed mercy. So Jesus says, go and do likewise. So this is where Jesus is leading us on this story. One is, he's not going to answer the question of who is my neighbor. If you're looking to divide up the world in different groups so that you know the ones that you can be kind to and the ones that don't deserve it, he's not going to help you. He's not going to play the game. That's our game we like to play. We like to put people in left or right, rich and poor, educated, uneducated. We like to put them in groups and then we can treat them a certain way. That's our game. That's a human thing. Jesus isn't going to play that game. So he doesn't answer the question. What he does is he shows him how to be a neighbor. And this is really what Jesus is driving at with a lot of his teaching. Don't worry about what your obligations are to other people based on what they deserve. Be a good neighbor to the people you come in contact with in your life. That's what he's asking. Your thought should not be on who should I be kind to and therefore who do I not have to be kind to. Your question should be how can I be a good neighbor? How can I be the best neighbor I can be? So Jesus is leading us down this road. He's obviously telling us don't stereotype. He's telling the listeners of his time, by putting the Samaritan in the spotlight and the priest and Levite in the bad part, Jesus is kind of flipping upside down what they would expect. Good things usually don't come from that. He's also telling us that it's not what we do necessarily, but who we try to be. Following Jesus isn't so much about checking off this box or checking off that box is as much about trying to be a type of person in the world instead of doing certain things. Now, that type of person probably does do certain things. We can just kind of spin this conversation around over and over again. But the interest of Jesus is, how is our heart working to lead us to be the type of person in the world, to be God's reflection in the world? How can we be that neighbor, not just follow the law and hit all the right points? For us, as we think about the week that we've had, it might seem overwhelming. It might seem really distant, really far away. It might seem like we want to throw our hands up and say, what do you do? What can you do? We've had a week of violence. We've had a week of death. We've had a week of anger and all those things in our country. And it seems really, really far away. What do we do? What do we do? And Jesus is giving us this. Followers of Jesus, his people, are best when they're functioning to be a neighbor to those in need that are on their path. We cannot fix everything. We cannot fix the great problems all in a day. What we're being asked to do, what Jesus is giving us a model to do, is how do we be a neighbor? How do we love our neighbor, the ones that are in our path, right in front of us, in need, in our daily life? That man, that Samaritan, his daily life brought him from Jericho to Jerusalem. Maybe it was a business trip. Maybe that commute is what he did every day to get to work. Whatever it is, who are those who are in need in our life, in our everyday path? Maybe it's in our family, maybe it's in our work, maybe it's in our neighborhood, in our social circle, whatever. Who are those people that God's calling us to love as our neighbor? And that's really where Jesus wants us to focus. We can't fix everything, but we can do that. We can do that. And if we all did that, imagine what a different place the world would be. Mother Teresa used to say that God isn't looking for people to do great things. He's looking for people to do small things with great love. And that was how she taught her nuns that she was training, that how washing someone who had leprosy, giving them a bath, was the work of God. Or making a meal for a homeless person who hadn't eaten in a week was the work of God. It may not seem like a big thing, right? In the vastness of all the need in the world, it seems like very little. But it makes a difference. The church is at its best when we think about how can we make a difference in one person's life. And in doing that, the church ends up changing the world. But when we try to just get so overwhelmed we do nothing, I think that's what the devil wants us to do. What Jesus wants us to do is, how do we show love to our neighbors in our path, those in need that we might see on our road, whether it's to work, to the gym, to school, whatever our road is, wherever it's taking us. If we find need, how do we be a loving neighbor to those? And that's what he would want the people hearing the Good Samaritan story to walk away with. Thinking that question, how can I be a good neighbor to those who are in my path in need? And how can we focus on that? That is not to mitigate the enormity of some of the things we see week in and week out, the violence we see, but it's to focus on the importance of how meaningful it is to touch one person's life. Don't ever underestimate the importance of that, of how meaningful it is to someone to show them that love in one person's life, the love of God. So I pray this week that God would give us eyes to see our neighbor, whoever that might be on our path, the need, whatever it might be, and that we wouldn't walk the other way, but that we would be motivated by this story and fueled by the Holy Spirit to be that type of neighbor, that loving neighbor that can change the world, one person, one loving act at a time. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.